O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, the song that we just sang, is kind of the framework for this time where that allows us to reflect on this most amazing news. Now, the first words of that carol were written way back in perhaps the 8th century, somewhere between the 8th and the 12th century. And the original music, perhaps, or the best that they can tell, came from about the 14th or 15th century out of France. The tune that you might remember or grew up with if you grew up singing Christmas carols didn't really come around until the 1850s. For the first time, it was put into English, and it was shown in an English hymn book. That tune, O come, Emmanuel. And the way that these words would have been sung, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, was kind of in chant style. And then they would sing one line, and then someone would read a psalm, and then they would repeat another line, and another line, and another line. This was one of the early practices of the church a long, long time ago. And these words that are well over 1,000 years old, and the tune that is perhaps 700 years old, eventually gave birth to the song that we sing today, O Come, Emmanuel. And while there are many verses, we sang three of them today, but there are as many as I've seen 7 or 8 different variations. There are lots of different words that have been written for this carol because the tune is very easy to write words to. One has always stayed the same. O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Let's say that together. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the one word that guides our time today. Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, will you enliven your word in our hearts by the power of your Spirit? Cause us to draw closer to you today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what does it really mean for God to be with us? If you have a Bible, you can open up to Matthew chapter 1, or you can scroll to it if you use the Bible on your phone or something like that. Matthew chapter 1, and this is Matthew's account of the birth of Christ. And in his account, there's a focus on Joseph that we don't see quite as much in some of the other accounts. And Joseph is to be married to Mary. And he finds out that she's already pregnant. But in a dream, an angel of the Lord tells him not to worry because the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit of God. Matthew 1:21, it says, she will give birth to a son. This is the angel speaking to Joseph. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because of what he is going to do. He will save his people from what? Their sins. He will save people from their sins. Now, this was the good news that God's people had been longing to hear for centuries. Waiting and waiting and waiting. You think waiting 4 weeks to get to Christmas is long? Imagine waiting hundreds of years to hear this news. And now Matthew declares it for all to know. Verse 22 continues, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. Now it's important to remember that Matthew is writing primarily to a Jewish audience. They would have known the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. They would have known the prophets. They would have heard that and memorized some of that from a very early age. And they've been waiting to hear the news of a Messiah who would come to save them. Now, in this time, who is oppressing them? The Romans are oppressing them. They're living under occupation by the Romans. And so this news takes on new meaning for them. When Matthew writes that this is to fulfill what the prophet had said, all of his original hearers, or listeners to this story would know of the prophet Isaiah. He draws their minds back some 750 years earlier to when this was first spoken and prophesied. Almost 750 years before these words were spoken. Let that sink in. This means that God knew what he was doing, and he had planned for this before his people were conquered and sent into exile. 750 years when things were bad, but not quite so bad that they were kicked out of the land. God already knew what he was doing. If God knew what he was doing then, does he know what he's doing with you? Absolutely is absolutely correct. Verse 23, these are those words from Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son. And what do they call him? Emmanuel, which means God with us. If we wrote this out today, we would use that movie trailer guy. You know the guy. You've all seen movie trailers. And he's the guy that would say, coming soon to an earth near you. You know him as Jesus, but those close to him call him Emmanuel, God with us. And it would probably be, there would be some dramatic music behind it, and it would all be encapsulated in about a 2-minute clip, and people get excited about it. And then someone would do an honest trailer and maybe give the real story that's going on. It would sound dramatic because what was just said was the most groundbreaking news ever. And this would be amazingly shocking news that the God of all holiness, the God that we saw and studied when we were studying the Old Testament earlier this year, the God of all holiness who you could not look at or touch directly and expect to live, would suddenly come to earth as a human in our midst and would actually allow people to touch him directly. No rubber gloves, no distance involved. Imagine that moment. For hundreds of years, you've grown up hearing the stories about how God is to be revered and we have to keep our distance. Because if we get too close, God is so holy that we might die. You'd grow up hearing the stories about how only the high priest could enter the very inner part of the temple once a year. And if the priest happened to die in there, they actually tied a rope to his leg so that they could pull him out so that no one else was able to go in and drag him out, or they would have died too. These are the stories you would have grown up hearing. And now you hear Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Suddenly God was no longer distant. God was no longer uninvolved and unwilling to be in relationship with his creation. He was now with humanity forever. John 1 captures this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And when we read that in addition to Matthew, we're hit with this truth that God with us is some of the best news ever. The most amazing news ever. God is with you. God was with you. God will be with you. Many, however, simply do not believe this truth. And even sitting here today, you may not yet believe in God. And so this truth may have trouble connecting into your heart or sinking in yet, because I believe that God is not done with anyone here. But that might be where you are today. For some of you, you might believe in Jesus, and yet you find it difficult to believe the truth of this good news all the time. You might even think, God is with us? Really? Because I can't really sense him right now. Shouldn't I feel something? Shouldn't there be some tingles or goosebumps? Shouldn't it feel like that mountaintop moment? Others of you are in a tough spot today because this season can accentuate the things that are both good and bad in our lives. The good can become amazingly good, and the bad can become even more painful. Some of you are facing an empty chair this year. A chair for someone that you wish was there but isn't. Maybe it's through death or divorce or distance or other circumstances. And you're adrift right now. You're feeling crushed. You're not sure that God is with you. Some of you are going through ongoing relationship issues or family tensions, or you've got bad news about an employment or health issue or situations that make you think, where are you, God? Why is this happening to me, to us? Or if some of you are honest, the thought might be lingering inside your brain, I've done something I'm so ashamed of. God couldn't possibly want to be with me. Why would he? That feels impossible. Wherever you are here today. And because you are here today, through the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I pray that no matter where you are or what you have done or left undone, that you would know that truth that God is with you. You are not alone. Whenever God implants that truth in your heart, you will never be the same as before. It changes everything. When God implanted that truth in my heart as an early 20-something, I knew about God. I had been to church. I had gone to Christian camp. I had accepted Jesus into my heart, but I didn't really know what that meant. And as I was sharing a story with our family over Thanksgiving, it was Mississippi of all places, living in the middle of nowhere, where the Spirit of God spoke to me in the most real way that I've ever felt and said, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I hope that you have had that experience too. God is, God was, and God will be with you. Three simple thoughts today. First, say it with me. God is with me. God is with me. And indeed, God is with you. In Luke 1:28, an angel appears to Mary, a teenaged virgin girl, and says, greetings! Kind of a polite angel, apparently. Probably a little bit more terrifying than that. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is, what? With you. The first truth proclaimed to her is just what she needed to know, because she will be asked to do something very difficult. Carry the Son of God in her body. If that was not difficult enough, she will have to see all that he will go through, all of the highs and all of the lows, all the way to the cross. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Those of you who are hurting right now, you're here today. Maybe your body is here today, but your mind might be somewhere else. Maybe your emotional sense is kind of in turmoil right now. And you especially need to hear that the Lord is with you in a powerful way. Hear these words from 2 Corinthians 1, which says that God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God is the God of all comfort, giving you comfort so that you in turn are both comforted and able to comfort those in your midst. The word comfort in the Bible comes from one of those original Greek words, parakletos. Para meaning beside or alongside of, and kleto, to call or to come to. So it means that God comes alongside of you to be with you, comforting you in those times of trouble. Later in the New Testament, that same word, parakletos, is used to kind of refer to another word for God, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, some of your Bibles might say, the one who comes and is with you to comfort and guide and direct. God comes alongside of you, and when you know that God is with you, everything changes forever. You cannot go back to the way things were. When you're lost and you don't know where to go, God is with you as a guide. When you're hurting and you feel alone, God is with you as a companion or friend, companion and friend. When you're in the midst of trials, God is with you as a comforter. When you are sick, God is with you as your healer. When you are weak, God is with you as your source of strength. When you are lost in your sin, God is with you as your Savior, the one who came to save us from our sins. God is indeed with us. That's number one. Second, say it with me. God was with me. God was with me. Yes, God was with you. Sometimes it's easier, though, to see in the rearview mirror than to look out the windshield of our life. We keep looking in that rearview mirror, you know, when you're driving, especially after a rainstorm and people forget how to drive, and you're more concerned about the person behind you that they're going to rear-end you. So we keep looking in the rear view, and it might be sort of hard to see out of the windshield. And sometimes our life is like that. We can actually look back a little bit more clearly with 20/20 hindsight. When you're in the midst of it, you don't always know what's going on. And then you get further on, and you say, oh, I have a little bit more understanding of what happened here. Maybe not why, maybe not every answer, but a little bit more understanding. Sometimes we need that reminder that God was with us in that moment. We need the reminder of how God already has been present with his people, even in the worst of situations. I want to draw your attention to another Joseph in the Bible, not Mary's Joseph, but Joseph from the Old Testament. You know Joseph, one of those many brothers who thought he was all that in Genesis 39 and a few other chapters. And he was a young guy with big dreams, and he wanted to be a leader. And he was his dad's favorite, and all of his brothers hated him for it. They thought he was cocky and arrogant, and they beat him up, and they threw him down into a pit, and they left him to die. But one brother said, you know, he is our brother. We can't leave him down there. Let's sell him into slavery instead. As if that's much better. At least, yeah, make some money in the deal. What a great brother that brother was. And that's what happened. And in the whole rest of the story, Joseph continues to live a life of integrity. See, he was a little bit cocky and arrogant when he was young. But all of these things that he goes through, almost kind of like sandpaper, starts to sandpaper some of those rough edges off of him. And he lives a life of integrity, and things just seem to start working out. And yet he still suffers. He's doing everything within his power, and he still suffers. He's falsely accused of something. He ends up in prison. And from the outside looking in, when we read this story, we want to say, this isn't fair. Where's the justice in that? Where is God in Joseph's life? But if you've read Genesis, and we have read that together, as his story progresses, we begin to realize that God is indeed present, working to bring Joseph into a new place. He brings him all the way to the top of Egypt, second in command, from the prison to the palace. And Joseph is given, in essence, the keys to the kingdom of Egypt. God uses this very difficult path for him to put him in charge in order to save people from a terrible famine that is to come, and to save not just a bunch of random people, but to save the very brothers, his family, who threw him in that pit. He doesn't withhold. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to get back at them. I'm going to withhold all that food from them. Genesis 39:21 tells us right where God was in this story. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The Lord was where? Right there with him. Perhaps even more real than he had ever experienced him before. As you think back or look back on your life, you may be able to see those specific moments that God indeed was with you too, bringing you here to this very moment in your life. Now, maybe you had an easier or straighter path, or maybe you've had a convoluted, multi-stage, broken fits and starts path. Maybe it's been a little more crooked at times and not the path that you would have chosen. But nevertheless, God was with you every step of the way. If God is with you and has been with you, then what's left? God will be with you. Say it with me. God will be with me, and God will be with you. No matter what happens, God will be with you. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that can happen to you where God will abandon you. Other people in your life may, but God never will. That is good news. Thank you, Ray. Hallelujah. I'm working hard here. Thank you. I appreciate it. As you look ahead with this thought that God will be with me, what could happen to you in this coming year? What will happen to you in the seasons to come? It could be good things. It could be less than good things. You could get that cancer diagnosis. You could have a relationship fall apart. You could have ongoing job issues. You might have turbulence in your school. You might be thinking of retirement and things don't quite work out, or maybe they do. If we could see the future, we'd probably freak out. If we knew where God was going to take us, we'd probably be a little too scared. If I knew my future, I would have probably run the other way, like Jonah the prophet, running away from God. I wouldn't have wanted to be here. This wouldn't have been my first choice. And perhaps you're thinking similar things in your life. Think now back to this teenage little girl, Mary. If she could see the future, what would she see? When the angel says, the Lord will be with you, what would she imagine her future if she could see it? In her case, Mary would see God with her as she conceives the child by the power of the Holy Spirit. That would blow your mind. If you had to do that on your own without our knowledge that God was with you, that would be a freak-out moment. Imagine then going to tell your soon-to-be spouse, by the way, something happened. That would probably be the end of that relationship for most of us. God would be with her as she tells Joseph, and God would be with him as he learns the news as well. God would be with them as they travel a long way, and God would be with them when there was not a hotel room for them to stay in. God would be with them in the stable as she gives birth in the dirt and the muck, and God would be with her in all the moments of her life and all the moments that she would see happen to her son, Jesus. God would be with her as she watched him falsely accused, abused, persecuted, and suffer on a cross. God would be with her when she saw Jesus abused by the very ones whom he came to save from their sins. And as she saw her future, she would see and know that God will be with her as Jesus dies and the earth darkens and shakes. And in that moment, she would say, "Thank you, God, for being with me right now." God would be with her as she waited those days and wondered. And God would be with her on the third day when the tomb was found to be empty and Jesus was not there. Why? Because he has risen. Because he is Emmanuel. He is God with us, God who was with us, and God who will be with us. No matter what you go through, or what happens to you today, or this week, or next month, there is nothing that can change this truth that God is, was, and will be with you. The Bible confidently asks and answers this very question. Romans 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Nothing. No one and nothing can separate you. Trouble? Nope. How about hardship? Can that separate you? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? I'm not sure why that's there, but no. Danger? No. The sword? No. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand and believe this, church, that nothing, nothing will be able to separate you, no matter how bad it is right now, or how good it is right now? The last words that Matthew records are Jesus' very own words and his promise to us. And surely I am what? With you always to the very end of the age. He will never leave you or forsake you. Nothing can change that, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Not our fears, not our doubts, not our disappointments or insecurities. Your questions about God cannot separate you from him. Not those things that you can't explain. Your brokenness cannot separate you. Your failures, your mistakes, not your sicknesses, not your divorce, not what someone did to you, not your broken dreams. Nothing. You get the point? Yeah. Nothing. Some of the last words in the Bible from Revelation say this: "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who what? Was and who is to come, the Almighty." God is indeed with you. That question the Bible considers answered. The question that remains: are you with God? See, God is not on our side, and he is. He's more interested, are we on God's side? Are we on his side? Are we with God? And this question requires an honest answer from us, because God is with you in this moment. He is Emmanuel and wants to reveal all of himself to you. Some of you know this deeply, and you have for a very long time. Some of you are just learning some of this. And more than that, he wants you to be with him. loving him with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. He is Christ the Lord, not just the little baby Jesus, but the one who came to save all people. Are we with God? It would be my honor to pray for you right now as we prepare to come to the Lord's table in just a moment. Quiet your hearts in this moment. When we come to the Lord's table, it's a time when we can receive from what the Lord has already freely given. Let's pray. God, I pray that your Spirit would do what only you can do. Would you transform each person here by the good news that you are with us, that we are not alone? Connect the heart of each person here to yours, God. Hear our one prayer. We need your presence in our lives. Will you open us to be more aware of you? Help us to know and believe that, yes, you are with me even now. We thank you that your presence was enough in the days past and that you are enough in the days for now. We thank you that you will be enough in the days to come. We thank you that you are here. Will you come alongside your precious children, O God, the God of comfort? For you are the everlasting God, and we will continue to wait upon you, Lord. We pray this in the amazing name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.